So what we've seen over the last 5, 6, 7 years is this surge in illegal trade, in particular as it affects the elephant for its ivory, the rhino for its horn, the pangolin for its scales and its meat, rosewood. The changing dynamic we've seen is the involvement of transnational organised criminal gangs. And we're not going to be able to defeat these groups if we treat these as lesser crimes. So a big shift we've seen over the last 5, 6 years, very much at our last conference of the parties, was we need to treat wildlife crime as a serious crime where it involves transnational organised criminal gangs. We have UN Office of Drugs and Crime on board. We have Interpol on board, World Customs Organisation, World Bank. We're working all with them, the UNDP, on how do you tackle these serious crimes. So the game has shifted and the response is stepping up to the change in the way in which these products are being illegally traded.
And we've seen recently the Kenyan government just in recent days burn a huge stockpile of tusks, I think 100 tons of elephant and rhinoceros. And was that sending a message not only to the poachers but also to the international community that governments are getting on board, or at least some governments?
Well, I know we're on radio, but if you look at my boots, you'll see the mud of Nairobi National Park is still on them. I was there, I was invited to make a speech, and basically speaking, with illegally traded elephant ivory and rhino horn, you have two options. You can't trade it commercially, you can store it or destroy it. Kenya, along with a number of other countries, including China, Sri Lanka, the United States, have all decided they want to destroy some or all of their stockpiles of confiscated ivory and rhino horn. What this did in Nairobi National Park just 2 days ago, it allowed the Kenyan government to send a very clear message that it does not tolerate and it will not tolerate illegal trade in wildlife. Now, the burning of ivory itself is not going to stop the illegal trade, but what Kenya is doing much more than that. It is one of 19 countries under CITES that were asked to do national ivory action plans. Kenya did one. There it outlined how it's strengthening its laws, and the parliament has acted, how it's strengthening its enforcement measures, including its penalties, increasing the capacity of Kenya Wildlife Service, and deploying good use of modern forensics. So the burn also allowed you to focus some attention on that. It also allowed us to use the occasion with a massive amount of media there to say to the transnational organised criminal gangs, the days of wildlife crime being high profit and low risk are over. So in Johannesburg in September of this year, we've got a record agenda. We have 175 agenda items. We've never had an agenda that large in the 42 years history of this convention. And the parties stepped up in 2013 in Bangkok. They put in a lot more strongly worded resolutions, decisions, took actions. Now, 2016, they're even going to tighten the screws even further. But we've also seen issues emerge as to how do we regulate trade in some species? Do we need to further clamp down on that regulation? So we've got a number of proposals coming forward about how to deal with elephant ivory, how to deal with rhino horn, how to deal with pangolins, how to deal with African grey parrot, how to deal with rosewood. So I think what we're seeing is the international community has really woken up to this convention. This is a good way of regulating wildlife trade to ensure that its survival is not threatened. So I think that's part of it as well.
You mentioned elephant ivory, rhinoceroses. Those who are affected by animals ravaging their crops, they say we don't have any other way. We have no other way of dealing with this problem. So poaching is an option for some people. How does CITES approach the problem that way?
What we do see is that what's causing the problem with the illegal wildlife trade is not local subsistence poaching. That can be dealt with locally. The problem we've been confronting is transnational organised criminal gangs. These are offshore gangs operating in a country and stripping out wildlife at an industrial scale. That's the problem. But not only do they strip out the wildlife, what they come in, they bring in arms, they start corrupting local officials, and they put people into a poverty spiral. So what we're seeing is local subsistence poaching is a local issue. It doesn't have big international implications. It can and should be dealt with locally. What we're targeting, transnational organised criminal gangs that are ripping off this wildlife from local communities and stripping away the profits.